This is Blair Durham with Black Wall Street Today, your media hub for all things Black business and related news, strategy, and events.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of Black Wall Street Today with Blair Durham. As always, I'm excited to share with you all. Black Wall Street Today is your premier media hub for all things business, research and analytics, networking and development as it pertains to the Black community. We are brought to you by Black Brand. We are your regional Black Chamber of Commerce, here with all kinds of programs and conferences to aid you in your journey for professional development, business development, as well as personal development. Today's subject is really near and dear to my heart. I'm very excited about the conversation we're going to have with Dr. Michelle Lee Gould. She is a graduate of Norfolk State University, behold, summa cum laude, with a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology that includes an endorsement in elementary education. In September 2023, she also received an honorary doctorate in Christian education from the School of the Great Commission Theological Seminary. Dr. Gould is a certified executive leadership and life coach. In addition, she holds certificates in understanding the dynamics of NPOs, or nonprofit organizations, managing nonprofit organization board members, grant writing essentials, nonprofit fundraising, and financial management of nonprofit organizations. As a former educator for Portsmouth Public Schools and with nearly 30 years experience in nonprofit leadership, Dr. Gould merged her two passions, teaching and nonprofit work, to establish About My Father's Business LLC, which offers consulting and digital courses and products to service nonprofit organizations with everything from startup and gaining 501c3 status to board member development, fundraising, and learning grant writing. Known as the Helper's Helper, it's the mission of About My Father's Business to help ease the stress, lessen the workload, and assist with managing small to mid-sized nonprofit organizations more efficiently and effectively. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gould. How are you?
I am well. So good to be here today.
I am delighted to have you. I often say nonprofit organizations do the work that no other entity can do. For-profit can't do it. Government can't do it, right? What is your passion for the nonprofit, and where did that really come from?
So my passion for nonprofit work really came from how I grew up in my childhood, some of the things that I experienced. So as a, you know, a little girl growing up, my mother was a single mom. She worked in a factory. Sometimes she couldn't make those ends meet. And so there were times when we didn't have enough food to eat. There were times when we were transient. We were moving from motel room to motel room. And there is one time that I remember in the sixth grade that we went to, I went to five different schools in one year. And Wow. So that is where that passion for helping others really stems from.
Yeah, I love that. And to hear you say, you know, it's not just that I want to start a nonprofit. It's just that I want to be an aid to multiple nonprofits, I think is really critical, right? Because nonprofit organizations and their founders, there's a significant learning curve there. You know, the nonprofit has a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of nuances, right?
Yes.
Talk to us about some of those areas that make the nonprofit world distinct from the for-profit world and some of those hurdles that you help founders to overcome.
So in starting a nonprofit, just getting started, it can really be overwhelming. It can be a little confusing and frustrating because of all of the different paperwork, the red tape that is required. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I know all of those things are there for a reason, because we want to make sure that we are really helping people. You know, we're not just setting this up just to say we have something, but we really want to be helping people. So we understand why all of that red tape is in place.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you don't understand the lingo, if you don't understand the essentials, then we can really get into that space where, you know, I'm never going to get this off the ground.
Yeah.
And then even after we've gotten through all of the paperwork, there is so much that we have to do just to stay in compliance.
Right.
See, people
right.
don't realize that there are things that we have to do annually in order to stay in compliance with the government. It's not like you get this and you just keep it
one
forever.
And done, right?
Yeah, nope. one and done. Nope. No.
Ongoing assistance.
Yes.
Yeah.
That we have to stay in compliance. We got to make sure that we document.
Yes.
And then make sure that we're taking care of those things annually that we need to do.
So I want to tell a little bit of a story here because our journeys are important, right? So prior to starting Black Brand, I attempted to start a nonprofit in 2009. And the level of green. I mean, I was just green. I think I thought that car washes and bake sales and my friends volunteering, you know, was really gonna be how I could start a nonprofit. And I'll never forget, I organized a car wash right up here at the Golden Corral, and I had about 20 people there helping, and we washed all these cars, and I promised them that I was going to buy them dinner after we washed cars. Where there goes every dime that we raised in trying to feed folks. And so the very next month, I wanted to do the same thing, but I realized I wasn't going to be able to feed them, and I had zero volunteers to show. And then I said, well, wow, maybe it's not a nonprofit that I want to start, or maybe I don't know enough, you know. I believe that nonprofits have to go from being kind of my nonprofit, where I'm taking money out of one pocket and putting it into the other, to really becoming a community-based organization. What are your thoughts on that? How does a nonprofit really become community-based? What does that mean?
So I think that the first thing we really have to do is, that's one of the things that I talk about, is you really got to look at the finances. Like, how am I going to fund this nonprofit?
Yeah.
Like, where's all this money going to come from? Because you're going to find out that if you are funding it from your own pockets, it's going to dry up quickly, right? Yeah. So we really do have to be strategic about how we're funding. And we hear, you know, people talking about multiple streams of income. That's the buzzword, multiple streams of income. So when we're looking at our nonprofits, we really need to be strategic and think about multiple streams of income. So we want people invested in this nonprofit. And how you get people invested in the nonprofit, like you said, community-based, is you really have to make people feel a part of. I feel this. First of all, I'm passionate. I got to find people that are passionate about what we do. So, because that's one of the things that we'll find out, even if we're not passionate, right? Nobody starts a nonprofit not to be successful. You start a nonprofit because you want to be successful. You want to render a service in your community. But a lot of times we may start out and we say, oh, I see a need and I really want to help with youth. And we've come to find out a couple of years later, well, that's not my passion. I really don't like working with these children or whatever the case may be. So we've got to find that area where we're passionate. And then we've got to find people who are also passionate about that same thing, that same goal, the end goal. Once we do that, when you find people who are passionate about a thing, they're not going to give up on it.
No.
They're going to fight for it. They're going to be the people who stay late, who come early. They're going to be the people who come to set up and then stay and clean up afterwards because they really believe in what this thing is, what this service is. And so that's how we first have to start out. And then I think, again, we've got to have those multiple streams of income.
You're listening to the Black Wall Street Today with Blair Durham podcast. I'm the producer, Seiko Varner from Positive Vibes. So we would love for you to do a few things. Like this episode. You're going to like it anyway. Share this episode. It's worth sharing. And tell other people about the podcast. Sharing is caring. Let's all get wealthy.
I know that a lot of clients that I have worked with, they have been, you know, they quickly learned with COVID that I cannot solely depend on grants.
Right.
I've got to diversify. Mm-hmm. I've got to find multiple streams of income, different ways to bring in the funds that we need. And so that means being strategic. That definitely means thinking outside the box. That means getting your board involved.
That's huge. That's huge. I was just thinking, corporations want to engage, other nonprofits want to engage. And so it's really incumbent on that executive director, like mm-hmm. you said, to strategize what is the value that as a nonprofit I can bring to your entity, right? When you start thinking about sustainability, right? So
yes.
I don't know. It's been a journey and it continues to be a journey. You talked about kind of having that open mind, right? And coming into what you may not have known,
yes.
right? I think that's critical for a new executive director
yes.
to realize this isn't going to quite be what you thought it was. Like, you thought you were going to be delivering a service. You thought you were going to be able to just deliver that service. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to grow that nonprofit, your role becomes a bit different. So once you get to that mid-size level, Dr. Gould, what becomes the work of the day-to-day work of that executive director?
So
this is really to prepare somebody who's thinking about starting one, right?
Right. Because like you said, that executive director is critical. And making sure that I don't get stuck. Like, the first thing we have to do as executive directors is just making sure that we are ever learning. Like, you can be in that position and you can think, I've hit it. I know. I got this. Yeah. I got all the checks and balances in place and I know everything that I need to know. But baby,
you can hit that brick wall just as fast, right?
Let me tell you, you have to keep that mind in a space where, you know what? I know what I know, but I need to know more.
Yep. Because things are always changing, right?
Yes.
Even the way in which we need to deliver services could change. You know,
yes.
the way the world responds to what we're doing can change. And we've got to be able to, you know, I often say that the nonprofit space is really no different than the for-profit space.
Yes, that's correct.
We're still talking about running a business at
yes.
the end of the day. You know, the nonprofit status has to do with the tax consideration, but ultimately, mm-hmm. we got to be business leaders, right? And we've got to be business minded, and we've got to be on that journey. So, I would also say or ask your thoughts on the value of networking mm-hmm. For the nonprofit executive director. What say you?
So I would say it is critical.
Yeah.
It is critical. You know, you and I have had conversations and everything about how I am an introvert. When people hear me speak, you know, they wouldn't think that about me, but I am an introvert. But yeah. I am telling you, as an executive director, you really do have to get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's critical to get out here and network, because you never know who is interested in what you do, who will support what you do. And so if you never open up your mouth and say anything about what you do in the community, how will they know?
Right.
100%. How will they know?
If you've just tuned in, this is Black Wall Street Today with Blair Durham, having a great conversation about all things nonprofit with the Dr. Michelle Gould. We're talking about networking, which might be something that could be lost on a new executive director, right?
Yes.
They might feel like their passion and their board is all they need, but wow, they've got to keep growing, keep meeting people. It's just critical if they're going to be around, right, for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
What else would you say is important from a professional development standpoint for a nonprofit executive director?
So definitely I would say getting out there, getting known, you know, telling people what you do. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we just talked about the networking, but also just making sure that the community knows what you do. Sometimes we don't realize that people just don't know.
Right.
Like, for example, you have a food bank that's offered in a particular community. And a lot of times, because we haven't gotten out there in that community and let people know what we do on a day-to-day basis, then they're not taking advantage of all of the different programs that we have to offer. Right. So I think that it's important. It's not about just the fundraising. It's not about just the networking. It is about the service, mm-hmm. the services we offer. And we want people to come in and to actually take advantage of those different services.
Yeah.
But if we don't...
So there's a whole communications element.
Absolutely.
That we've got to figure out.
Absolutely.
What is our voice? What is our story? How are we telling it? How are we connecting to media? Yeah, I think that's critical.
Yeah, so we have to let people know this is what we do. Mm-hmm. And that is so important, because I would hate to be a nonprofit and you have developed, you put all of this time into these different programs, because it does take time.
It does.
To develop these programs, and then nobody knows about them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting that you say that, because I find myself not necessarily talking about what I do. Like, when I'm at work, of course, I'm at work. But, man, to be able to open up my mouth at the grocery store or at the gym, you know what I mean? When I'm meeting people that could potentially benefit, I agree with you. That's a skill. That's almost, that's something to really be conscious about, is am I showcasing what I do?
Yes.
You know, because it's for the people.
Yes.
And that means I've got to be meeting new people, and I've got to be telling those people about what it is that I do.
Yeah.
What are you seeing with the nonprofits that you work with right now? What's kind of the biggest service that you're providing to those nonprofits? What need are you solving for them?
So I would say that the biggest thing that I'm seeing with nonprofits right now is staying in compliance. So, a lot of times as a new nonprofit, small nonprofit,
yeah,
we don't understand all of the requirements for staying in compliance. And I think one of the saddest things that I have experienced is someone coming to me and saying, we've lost our status.
Wow.
And it was...
How does a nonprofit lose their nonprofit status?
Not filling out annual paperwork with the IRS.
990? Okay.
Yes.
So if they're not filing kind of what those expenditures were,
yes,
what those revenues were,
yes,
then the IRS can take...
After 3 years of not filing, they suspend you.
Okay.
They suspend you. And so that has been the thing that I've seen recently that... is so, so critical. And that's why I talked about compliance, compliance, compliance.
Yeah. Can we do a popcorn round? I just want to throw some questions at you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Can we do that?
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
I love a lightning round. Okay. So what is an annual audit?
So an annual audit, and you're going to find this with small nonprofits, that they will say, yeah, what is an annual audit? Mm. But in an annual audit, there are different audits that you want to do. You want to do a paperwork audit. Like, are we turning in our paperwork? Mm. If I have volunteers, am I tracking? This is some of the things that I do. I set up databases for those small nonprofits so that they can even track their volunteer hours.
Excellent.
Because what are you going to do when that volunteer who may be from a school, mm-hmm, a college,
comes back
to you and says, oh, I need my hours because I've got to turn them in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that everything is being tracked.
Sure.
And so our board or whoever, if we've got subcommittees that we've set in charge over that. We want to make sure that there's an audit going on, that we are following our bylaws. So we need to make sure that we do an audit of our bylaws to make sure that we are following everything that we told the government
that we would do.
That we would do.
In terms of how we would operate. I get that.
And so one of the things I wanted to bring this out, I think this is very important. One of the things that we've learned recently is that a lot of people have not changed their bylaws. We know that we went through COVID, and we know initially we were all having our meetings in person. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. now we found out, oh, if we have our meetings on a virtual, then we can invite other people to be on our board who may not necessarily live in our area. And we have this new exposure right. to different people. But have we changed
the bylaws?
Our bylaws.
Yes, yeah, that's huge. So while we're there, we're still on a lightning round. What are bylaws?
So our bylaws are like the Bible. This is how our organization is going to be governed. So this is going to tell us all of the ins and outs of how this organization is going to be governed. And listen, the IRS and other entities, when we go to start applying for grants and things like that, they want to make sure that you're following the bylaws.
Next question. What's the difference between the 990 EZ and the 990?
So the 990 EZ is if we are, again, a small nonprofit that brings in $50,000 and under. Okay, so we can file the 990 EZ. However, let me say something about that 990 EZ. A lot of times when we're going to apply for those larger grants, they want us to file the 990, which is the long form, because then we have on the 990 EZ is just a postcard. So pretty much we're filing it electronically. We're just telling them this is how much money we took in, and we're not showing any of the details. However, on the 990, that's the long form. And a lot of times when we are applying for those grants, and I'm talking about the larger dollar amounts, $10,000 or above, they want to make sure that you are filing that 990.
Okay, let's talk about the 1023. I'm ready to get my nonprofit status. Which one do I do? Do I do the short one, the 275, or do I spend what I think it's either the 400 or 600 to do the long one? And what's the difference between the two?
So I'm like on the fence about that. Now I'm gonna tell you why. The long form, there's a lot that goes with it, right? So you've got to know your programs, your budgets for your programs. There's a lot of information that you have to include. And when you're talking about the long form versus the short form is 3 pages, mm-hmm. right? Long form, I think, I don't know, maybe about 30 pages or more. Okay. Once you add all of those additions on. So the reason why I say I'm on the fence about that is because when you do the short form with the IRS, and that is when you're going to stay $50,000 and below, it can help you get established.
Sure.
It can help a small nonprofit. You want to make a difference in your community. You may not be applying for grants that are $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. You're just getting started. So it's going to help you to become established.
Sure.
Right? You can always apply using the long form at a later time.
If you've just tuned in, Blair Durham here, Black Wall Street Today with Dr. Michelle Gould. We are in a popcorn lightning round about all things nonprofit. My next question for you was on the tip of my tongue. What's the ideal size for my board of directors?
So in the state of Virginia, you only have to have 3 for your board of directors. You can get started, right? You can file with the SEC and you can get started. But you definitely need more people. A lot of times, I see the board a little bit different than other people. Excuse me. Because I believe that you should have a working board. Listen, do not invite people to your board of directors who do not want to work, who are not passionate about what you all are going to do in the community, who are not going to put their funds behind the work. Because listen, this is the thing. How can I ask other people to put their monies behind what we do and our board won't even do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brings me to my next question. You know, it's the popcorn round. Should board members pay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know some people may not agree with that, but again, you are supporting the work. Mm-hmm. We are here to do a work in the community. Now, what should the board members pay? You've got to decide that within your own board. Mm-hmm. However, if you think about it, if you start out as a small nonprofit, you're in that $50,000 range and below, you've done, you know, the short form, your board may be paying $300 a year. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? That just started you out with some money in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
You haven't even done any other fundraising. You haven't applied for any other grants. So that's what I was talking about. When we're talking about those multiple streams of income,
that has to be one of them.
That has to be one of them.
All right. Let's ask this question. Nonprofit annual report. What are some of the key components there?
We've definitely document. We've got to keep up with how many people we serve. Let's talk about the quantitative and the qualitative.
Okay,
because data is important. We know people, not only people want to know where their money went,
mm-hmm.
but as a nonprofit, we are required to show them.
These are facts. In fact, our 990 is a public record.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Even if you don't have it on your website, I can go pull it up.
Yes. But it's important.
It is.
If we want our donors to continue to be repeat donors, tell them, okay, this is the quantitative information. This is how many people we served. You know, this is how many repeat people we have. Just all of the things. Then we also, and this is one of the things that I've talked about. I have something that I do on social media called NPO Ready, Set, Grow. And this is one of the things that I talked about recently was that qualitative information. Do a case study. Follow somebody. Say, for instance, you're doing, you have a food pantry and you want to show how you're in a food desert. And no grocery stores. And you want to show how bringing your all of these fruits and vegetables and how it has really impacted the health of someone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Follow them.
Yes.
Right. And give them that information. Put that information in your annual report.
Love it. Last question. How should board members be evaluated?
So many things come to mind with that. Because again, we want a working board. We want a board that is, and not to say that we're going to make 100% of the activities. Nobody's going to do that. Not to say sometimes our board members may not always have the funds, right? But we definitely want to look at that and make sure that even if we're not 100%, we're doing our very best. So we have to set a bar.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? We have to set a bar in each of those different areas and evaluate our board members annually and see where we are.
I said that was the last question. Last question. This got to be short. What is the role of the board chair?
So the board chair is to make sure that all of those meetings are in order. they want to make sure that everything is going in a line as it should. So a lot of times, you know, we put out an agenda and we get off of that agenda and we get into other things. We want to make sure that we want our board chair to make sure that everything is going as it should be. Now, the other side of that is our board and our board chair, we want to support our executive director. 100%. This is, and I know we got to be quick. We got to wrap it up.
We done, actually. That was so good, though. That was so good. If at least give us your website. How can people find you?
So they can find me at aboutmyfathersbusiness.online.
aboutmyfathersbusiness.online. Dr. Gould, you are amazing.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Yes. No, thank you for the work that you do. So needed in this community and just across the world, right? And thank you all for tuning in to Black Wall Street Today, where we are building minds, we're building connections, and we're forging the path ahead toward business success in the Black community. We'll talk next week.
This episode was brought to you by Positive Vibes Consulting. That's PositiveVibesConsulting.com. If you're a business owner and the bank said no, we may have a solution for you. Let's have a conversation. If you're a nonprofit organization, let's strategize and find ways for you to have continuous income while you're searching for donations and pursuing grants. That's PositiveVibesConsulting.com. A proud member of Black Brand.
Phenomenal. Stay with us online at Black Wall Street Today on Facebook and Black Wall Street Today on Instagram. And then follow us on Twitter as well at BWS Today. We look forward to talking again next week. Have a wonderful week. I have said and I will continue to say that the most important priority for the Black community is the Black community, not a particular political party.
Phenomenal. Hey, yo, when I say Black, you say.